The word today is blessing. Welcome to The Word Today with the late pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. God is good and gracious, and He desires to bless His people. As others observe our relationship to God, we have the opportunity to share how good God is to us. Here from our archives, with a reflection on God's blessing, is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Blessing.
One of the things that we need to remember whenever we hear politicians or other people telling us that God is going to bless America is to be aware that when we say God is going to bless America, it's much more than just a polite, nice thing to say. It's kind of like when people say America is a Christian country. Well, frankly, I don't believe that. I don't believe we are a Christian country. How can we be a Christian country when we abort millions of babies? How can we be a Christian nation when homosexuality is rampant and trying to gain more and more people into that lifestyle? How can we be a Christian nation when we're doing things against the will of God? So when people say, God bless America, what is that supposed to mean? Now, I remember back to the Desert Storm days. We had days of prayer. We had days in which we asked God to be with us and to bless our military and to help us in the war. And then we had a very quick victory. All of a sudden, we were the winners. And you know what? I don't recall a single day of prayer. Now, maybe there was one somewhere. I know they had something in New York, and there were other things going on. But generally, across America, I didn't see people saying, wasn't God great? Didn't God really bless us? And isn't it wonderful to know that God has given us a victory? I didn't hear too much of that, frankly. What I heard was, aren't we great? What a great military we have. That's called nationalism. And they are the best trained, and they are the best supplied, most adequately supplied with ammunition and the things and the instruments that they need for victory. And so I feel that we need to take a look at James. I hope you'll kind of turn there with me. James 4, verses 7 to 10. I could have gone into the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, it's not a bad idea to do this when you're talking about nationalism and wars and so on. In 2 Chronicles, there's a beautiful verse in chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, where it talks about people turning back to God, and God will then listen to them when they repent. And yet, basically, I kind of felt that some people would say, well, that's Old Testament. What about the New Testament? Well, take a look at James 4, verses 7 to 10. There are some tremendous statements in this fourth chapter of James. God says He will lift us up and He will listen to us if. Now, I always get a little concerned when we're talking about conditional love. I don't want to get into that as though God says, you do this and this and this, and then I'll love you. That isn't at all what God says. God blesses even the unbeliever. Have you ever noticed that? When it rains, let's say you have an unbeliever living next door to you. Have you noticed when it rains, his lawn gets wet? Have you noticed his grass grows? Probably you've seen them leave their car with bags of food going into the house. They're being fed by God. God has kept them alive. You know, a lot of times we need to be conscious of the fact that God blesses even the unbeliever. Of course He does. God loves all people. But He promises a special blessing to His people who love Him and are obedient to Him. And when we're talking about a nation, you know, God could get very displeased with the Israelites in the Old Testament, like I was saying, that verse in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, where the people were rebelling against Him, they were going after false gods, and God says, look, there's only one way you're going to get my help, and that's if you repent. Stop your idolatry and return to me and humble yourselves. Boy, I'll tell you, that's a theme of the Bible, this humbling. That's why the unbeliever so often doesn't turn to God. They don't like this humility. They like to think, I can do this myself. And they'll sometimes even say, if God is fair, he knows I'm trying. Well, what in the world is that supposed to mean, if God is fair? God is fair. He is a righteous God. And if God is fair, he will damn the unbeliever straight to hell. That's fair. That's exactly what they deserve. God is a righteous God. So whenever we start talking about fairness, don't ever ask God to be fair with you. Ooh, man, I'd be frightened half to death if someone said, well, don't you think God should treat you fairly? Thank goodness God does not treat me fairly. I know what I deserve. And I know how fast I could become an unbeliever if I ignored God's word and his sacrament, if I were to act as though I could take care of myself and didn't need him. As a matter of fact, that's one of the greatest sins. Pride is an enormous sin. That's why God is so angry at pride. C.S. Lewis was pretty right when he said, most sins stem from pride. In other words, once you've decided to do your will instead of God's will, then anything can happen. And so it's serious business when a nation begins to take pride in itself as though we're so good and we are so mighty and so on. That's the opposite of what God wants. Now, we've turned to James 4, verses 7 to 10, and there are some conditions there. God says, kind of move through the verse with me. He says, first of all, submit. Let me ask you, do you feel that we have submitted to God? I guess I don't see that. I don't feel that. It says next, resist evil. Now, I've been in the Milwaukee area 38 years, and I can remember when I first came to town, looking at the movie theater pages on the paper, there were three adult theaters that showed X-rated movies. This is 38 years ago. And then after a few years, there were two. And then after a few more years, there was only one. And you know what? There are no X-rated movie theaters, at least that I know of, in the city and surrounding area of Milwaukee. And some would say, well, my goodness, isn't that marvelous? We've really cleaned things up. Oh, no. That is not what it proves. What it proves is things have gotten so much worse. They have gotten so terrifyingly bad that now people pipe all of this immorality into their own homes. Not maybe by getting videos in any video store that are X-rated, but not only that, but cable. Cable, you can bring the filth and the sewage right into your own homes. That's how bad things have gotten. So we're not resisting evil as a nation that I can tell. Then the next part of the verse says, draw near. Draw near. God is inviting us to draw near to him. You know, I don't see that. After Desert Storm, there were, in fact, during Desert Storm, a couple weeks there, church attendance was up 15, 20%. It didn't take over 2 months for that to drop back down to normal again. And I have to tell you, I think that's about how long it lasted, this drawing near. And so I don't want to get pessimistic here, and I certainly don't want to get negative, but I'm trying to be honest. You know, whenever God sent a prophet to the people, and that's what preachers are supposed to be today in the New Testament, they're supposed to be the prophets. And it's not just that they should say how wonderful, loving, kind, merciful, gentle, patient God is, but that they also are to remind God's people that he wants them to be obedient. Who's doing that? Who's doing that in our ministries around the world today? Who is reminding people, you know, God has some requirements for his people? For instance, he says, going further in this James 4 verse, he says, cleanse your hands, purify your heart. Well, as you look around, places you work, places you go to eat, places you go to shop, are you sensing that there's a real desire for morality, cleaning up the language in the magazines, on the racks, and so on? Is there a real attempt to say, you know, we as a nation must cleanse our hands. Let's get rid of this abortion stuff. Let's get right with God. Is there an appeal for this? Or, in fact, is there a slippage the other way that's saying, well, you know, we have to watch here that we don't get too fussy and too particular? You know, God is expecting just the opposite. As you continue to read this verse, it says, weep, mourn, and lament over these things that are displeasing to me, God says. I want you to take them seriously. You know, I'd like to kind of boil it all down to the word humble. Humble yourself before God. Now, we try to get around that subject. We don't like to talk about it. We'll talk about materialism. You know, if you work hard in this country, you know, you can make a success of yourself. We'll talk even about morals. Some people are moralists. Well, the scribes and the Pharisees in the Bible were moralists. They felt they were better than almost anybody else around. You know, they prayed more often. They gave alms. They did all kind of things. And yet, God says a lot of times they were like whited sepulchers. That's a tomb that stinks to high heaven. And so once in a while before the festivals, they'd go in and paint it, whitewash it down so that the stink wouldn't be so bad. And God says, but they're still sepulchers because on the surface they look nice and clean, but inside they're full of evil and wrong against my will. So I'm going to urge that the number one thing God wants is humbleness, that we come to him and say, Lord, we know we don't deserve forgiveness. We know we don't deserve your protection and your care and your help, but please, God, in your mercy, please help us. We humble ourselves. We praise you. We acknowledge you. You are the only one that can help. You are the only one that can deliver us. And then God says, when a nation does that, when they turn to him, then God says he will bless them and deliver them.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.